Well, Happy New Year. Is everybody excited that we've got a brand new opportunity, a brand new year, a brand new clean piece of paper that we get to write on it whatever we want to write? God is going to do some amazing things. Most people make some New Year's resolutions, and I went out and I searched and said, to that infinite wisdom Google, what are the top 10 New Year's resolutions, actually for 2015? Because, we haven't had the opportunity to figure out what's going on for some of the other ones. So lose weight, get organized, spend less, save more, enjoy life to the fullest, stay fit and healthy, learn something exciting, quit smoking, help others in their dreams, fall in love, spend more time with family. Any of those hit the button? I got one or two of them in there that I'm working on, a couple of different things. Now, not everybody makes New Year's resolutions, but many, many people do. Take a look at the results of what happens when we do that. 45% of people make resolutions, so a little bit less than half. 38% never make resolutions. Now, I don't know if that's because you've given up, hey, it just doesn't work for me, or it's not one of those things that you're interested in. I saw this that I thought was interesting. 8% are successful. That doesn't bode well for me losing weight, does it? Yeah, 8% successful. And then 46% who are successful maintain it for 6 months. Now, if you think about those 10 things that we looked at, I noticed something interesting whenever I looked at them. What's missing? Yeah, I didn't see a thing on there about a spiritual commitment. Nothing. Making a commitment to moving forward spiritually in the new year. So that's what I want to talk with you about this morning. If you're one of those people who actually makes spiritual resolutions or makes resolutions, then I want to talk with you about what that might look like, how that takes place. And if you have never done that before, I want to offer you the opportunity this morning and encourage you to consider it. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture where the Apostle Paul is, in fact, maybe not at the beginning of a new year making resolutions, but he is talking about how he can go forward spiritually, how God wants to work in his life and what is important to him as he considers those things. Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to start reading for you in verse 7. I'm going to read all the way down through verse 17. Paul says it this way. He says, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes through the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." Now here I think is a part of what he is saying that would really help dovetail with what we're talking about with resolutions and the desire to go forward spiritually. He says, "I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead." That's his goal. That's what he wants to do. He wants to know Christ more fully. So how are you going to get there? What are you going to do to make that kind of work its way out? He said, "Not that I've already obtained all this or I've already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Let's talk about Paul's model for achieving a spiritual goal. Now, I'm going to kind of summarize 10, 11, and 12 in one short little phrase here. Paul said, "I want to know Christ." And he's talking not just about an intellectual knowledge, but he's talking about an appropriation. He's talking about something that he possesses, something that he owns, something that is held in his heart and in his hands and in his spirit more completely. What he's really saying to us is, listen, I want to know more of Jesus. It's that passage that we sang just a moment ago. It's that verse that we sang just a moment ago when you know, Bill, you said, you know, we're opening our heart, we're opening our life. It's not like God's going to give us more of himself, but really we're giving him more of ourselves. We're opening our heart more fully and more completely to him. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, listen, I want to completely experience and understand more of who Jesus is. I want to see him move in my life with a greater level of spiritual transformation. I mean, that's what he's talking about. He says, I want to know him more completely. I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but a righteousness that comes from him. He says, I want to have that spiritual transformation take place in my life. I don't want to just talk about being like Jesus. I don't want to just think about being like Jesus. I don't want to just hope that I'm going to be more like Jesus. But I truly want to see that spiritual transformation take place in my life. Said, I want to move beyond that surface relationship. I want to know his spiritual power in my life, a power of Christ that helps me overcome sin, the power of Christ that helps me pray more effectively. Where when I pray, I actually see something change. They're not just empty words. He said, I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. I want to be able to walk through difficult times the way that he did. I want to not be shaken. I want to not despair. I want to not give up. I want to not throw in the towel. I want to be able to face those kinds of difficulties the way that he did. I want to be able even to face the death of something that I love, the death of something that is important and significant to me. I want to be able to live my life and to give my life the way Jesus did. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, so somehow I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. I want to see God bring amazing new life around me. Isn't that a kind of goal that you would like this year? Where God can breathe life back into something that is dead. Where God can bring spiritual transformation, where you can see his power at work in your life. That's what Paul is talking about. Now, if you look at those and you go, man, those are kind of heady goals. Those are big goals. Those are maybe a little bit more than I can sign up for. Maybe you just want to make something a little bit more tangible, a little bit more reachable, a little bit on a little bit lower shelf. So maybe your goal this year is going to be, hey, you know what? I want to know the Bible more. I want to be able to pray more effectively. There's some sin in my life that I really am going to ask God to help me overcome. I've fought that thing. I've wrestled that thing. I've prayed about that thing. I've confessed that thing over and over and over again. God, this year I want to see victory. This year I want to find a ministry. This year I want to be more regular in worship. This year I want to give more. Not just financially, but more of my heart, more of my life, more of my service, more of my ministry. See, here's what I know. As you begin to do those things, those other more heady goals, those other larger, more significant goals, they begin to fall in place as well. So we have to set a goal in our spiritual life. So if you want to do that this morning, take a look. Pick one. Think about it for a moment and say, God, this year, 2017, I was sitting there on my couch this morning. And I was thinking, 2017, a brand new year. Now, I've had a couple of those. I turned 60 this year. I'm getting old, Danny. Get old. Yeah, still young compared to some, aren't I? You know, but you know what? I had a couple of them so far. But you know what? It's exciting every time it comes. Every time you have a new opportunity to say, God, yeah, I blew it last year, but this year I might get it right. So I want to talk with you this morning about how you set some of those goals and get the right kind of results. Here's the first thing that you have to do, and it's kind of counterintuitive, and you may not like it. You got to choose what you lose. Anybody here got lots of extra time? Anybody here got lots of extra energy? Yeah, a couple of them. Yeah, they are. You know, I want to come hang out at your house. Mom's like, please don't. Anybody here got lots of extra money? Anybody here got just lots of extra? Most of us don't do. Most of us are pretty well tapped out. Most of us, you know, our bandwidth is full. There's no extra time in there. There's no extra energy in there. You know, there's no extra for almost anything new in there. Our life consumes everything that we are and everything that we have. And I want you to notice what Paul says here. I want you to see what he says is very, very significant. He said, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. He says, listen, I know where I'm going. I know what my goal is. I know what I want to accomplish. I know what God has set out there in front of me. Now listen to verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. See, here's one of the problems I think that we have. If you're like me, what I want to do is I want to add something new to my life, but I don't take anything out. And I just don't have the bandwidth for it. I don't have any extra time. I don't have any extra energy. I can't add one more piece to my life unless, listen, I take something out. Because one of the things that causes us, I believe, to be unsuccessful in achieving some of the spiritual goals that we have in our life is that we don't choose to give something up in order to make room for this new thing that God wants to do in our life. That's why I phrased it this way. You have to choose what you lose. You have to let go of something. That's what Paul did. He said, but whatever was to my profit, all those things that I thought were significant to me, I've decided, I've made, it's a mental decision, this word means. I have chosen, I have, in my mind, I have moved them out of the profit category and into the loss category. I've made this decision. And it's a word, it's a piece of grammar that talks about a decision that I made in the past that has ongoing implications and consequences. I made that decision over here, and I'm going to live with it day after day after day after day. There's some things that I am going to lose. Look what he's talking about here. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Paul says, I have some things that were important in my life, some things that were significant. You would think, when you look at them, his heritage, his family, his religion, his nationality. That's what he just listed for us here. And then he said, all of those things that were so important to me, I've moved them out of the profit category to the other side of the ledger, to loss. I've chosen to let something go. Because there's something that's more important, there's something that's more significant in my life than all these things that I was holding on to. And I don't know who this one is for, but three times I put it in my sermon and three times I took it out. So if this one is for you, you just write it down somewhere. If you're a religion, because that's a part of what he's talking about here, a Hebrew of the Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. If your religion is getting in the way of your relationship with Jesus, you need to change some of your religion. Because religion is about what we do, about me trying to work my way up to God. Relationship is about who I know and how He works in my life. And if you're holding on to some things from the past, some things that are not helpful to you, some things that weigh you down, slow you down, and keep you from going forward, you need to let those things go. Paul said, listen, you got to make the right decision. You got to choose what you're going to lose. It's awesome to say, I want to add something new to my life. It's awesome to say, I want to take a significant spiritual step forward. But here's the question I want to ask you this morning. What are you going to let go of? What are you going to lose? What are you going to write off? What are you going to stop? What are you going to give up? What are you going to hand over? Because most of us don't have any bandwidth for something new unless we let something old go away. And that's why Paul says to us, listen, choose what you lose. Third thing that you have to do is you have to make the right preparation. You have to get yourself ready. If you're going to be successful, if you're going to be part of that 8%, then there's a couple of things that you have to do to get ready. As some of you know, there was a point in time in my life years ago when I was in Bible college, I was a painter. And people would bring me into their house and they would say, I want you to paint this room and I want you to make this room look good. And I would paint the room for them and they would be very unhappy. They would go like, well, that doesn't look very good. And here's what I used to tell them. You know what paint does? Paint does one thing. It changes the color. That's all it does. It doesn't fix the crack in the wall. It doesn't. It only changes. Sometimes it doesn't even cover over the stain. You got a big stain in there? You know what it does? Sometimes it just changes the color of the stain that's on the wall. And successful painting is all about preparation. If you don't prepare it correctly, it's going to look awful when you get done. It's going to be like, there's a big crack in that wall, and it used to be yellow, and now it's a big blue crack. That's all it does. It only changes the color unless you prepare correctly. And that's what Paul is talking about here in this passage of Scripture. He's saying, listen, you choose where you're going to go. You choose what your goal is. You choose what you're going to lose. And then you begin to make the right kind of preparations. Pick up in verse 12. Not that I've already obtained all this. He said, I'm not there at the goal yet. I haven't achieved it. Or have already been made perfect. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what's behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Four things. You can write them down. You need to accept where you are. You need to forget what is behind. You need to ask for some spiritual insight. And you need to express faith in what you're asking God to do. Number one, you need to accept where you are. I'm not yet where I want to be, Paul said. Not that I have already obtained all this. Literally, I do not yet possess it. I don't yet have it in my hands. There's a goal out there. There's a place that I'm going. There's something that I want to accomplish. There's something that I want to be. There's something in my life that I want to see. But I don't have it yet. It's not there. You just got to face that fact. Maybe what you need to do is get up and look in the mirror one morning and go, I'm not the man I want to be. I'm not the woman I want to be. Just look at yourself. It's okay to say that. To not be satisfied with where you are spiritually. To look at yourself and honestly say, I'm not there yet. It's okay. Nobody expects you to be there yet. It's an unrealistic expectation to think that you will have arrived. You're not going to get there until Jesus gets back. That's okay. So accept that. Secondly, forget what is behind. Literally, it means to put something out of your mind. How do you do that? How do you let go? How do you let go of 2016? The pain for some of you. The mistakes for some of you. The sin for some of you. How do we do that? How do we let go of those things? How do we find forgiveness? How do you release having been hurt, having been harmed? How do you let go of the past so that you don't drag it with you? I thought this morning as I was going over the sermon sitting there at home, I thought, man, I wish I would have remembered this week and, and come up with the idea to get one of those old-fashioned ball and chain. If I'm going to find one of those and just preach the whole sermon dragging that thing around. Because that's how some of us live, isn't it? We live with the past that weighs us down and keeps us from going forward. We just drag it with us wherever we go. We need to learn how to forget the past. That's what Paul says. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has took hold of me, forgetting what is behind. Let me give you very quickly a couple of ideas, three different passages of Scripture here. Mark chapter 11. I won't take time to turn over there, but here's basically what Jesus says to us. He says, if you go somewhere and you stand up to pray and you realize that in your heart you're holding something against your brother, you're holding something against your sister, forgive them. That's really interesting. He doesn't go into any big list of how or what or when or where or why. He just says this. He just says, forgive. Make this mental choice that says, I forgive that person. Otherwise, you're going to be dragging along with you everywhere you go. And you go, well, I think I have. Here's how you know. If you stand up to pray and it keeps coming back, then you haven't forgiven yet. It's still there. You're still living with it. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it means that what you're going to do is Matthew chapter 18. Not only are you going to forgive them in the heart, in your heart, but you're going to go to them one-on-one and go, I love you, and there's something between us, and we need to work that out. It's one thing to say, listen, I'm going to let it go. But sometimes you need to look at them and go, I want to make sure that our heart is reconciled, that there's nothing between us. Some of you this afternoon need to go home, pick up the phone, make a phone call. Really, truly, you've been carrying something. You've been carrying a burden, a problem, an issue, a sin. And you just need to call them and go, can we make this right? Can we forgive? Can we leave this in last year so that in 2017 we can just go forward? Can we just truly, completely let it go and not deal with it anymore? And Paul says to us, listen, forgetting what is behind. Let it go one-on-one. If this morning you came to worship and I begin to talk about forgiveness and I begin to talk about pain, I begin to talk about hurt, I begin to talk about someone who has offended you, and that peace keeps coming back into your mind and you can see it and you relive it, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says if you walk into worship and you have your gift in your hand and you realize that your brother has something against you or you have something against your brother, leave your gift at the back door. Go and be reconciled with your brother, with your sister. And then when you've been reconciled, come and then make your offering to the Lord. Some of us, we need to do that. Now, listen, here's the reality. Sometimes people will not receive that. Sometimes people will not accept that. Sometimes people will choose, I don't want to talk to you. That's okay. You have honored God. You have done what God calls you to do. You can release that and go forward. And you maintain a posture that says, listen, I just want you to know I love you. I want you to know I'm open. I want you to know that any time you want to have our hearts knit together in Christ, I stand ready to do that. I promise you that will give you some freedom. That will release you. That will take a burden off of you. Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind. Let them go. Go forward. And ask God for some insight. I love this passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, Paul says this. He said, he comforts us with the comfort that he gives us so that we can take that very same comfort and offer it to someone else who is in trouble. So when I'm saying ask for insight, you don't just erase the pain of the past. Here's the question that you ask. God, how do you want to use this pain in my life to bless someone else? It's been said this way. God never wastes a hurt. He never wastes a hurt. So how could he use that awful pain, that hurt, to bless someone else? As you find from him the strength, the peace, the forgiveness, the grace, then it can flow into your life. It can meet that need in your heart and in your life and in your soul and in your spirit. And then when it begins to overflow into the life of someone else, God can bless them because of what has happened in you. So one of the questions that you can be asking as you get ready to leave the past behind is, God, how do you want to use that? Give me some insight into how you want to use that hurt, that pain in my life to bless someone else. And then you express faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. God, I don't see it yet. God, I don't feel it yet. God, I don't know it yet. God, I don't understand it yet, but I believe it. I believe that you are going to use this. I believe that you are going to bless this. I believe that you are going to heal this. And I believe that you are going to work through this. And you keep me strong walking with you until I see that reality. That's what faith says. God, I don't see it yet. God, I don't even see how it could be. But I see you. And I know you are big enough to work through this. So you prepare yourself. You prepare your heart with anticipation. You pray and you say, God, show me where you want to work through this. And then finally, you pursue your goal in the right way. Brothers, Paul says, I do not consider myself yet to have and take hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. Once you've prepared correctly, then you have to go after it with everything that you have. You just have to go after it with every single ounce of energy that you have. You pick an area, four things, four P's very quickly. This one thing I do, Paul said. You can't go back and go, every single failure, every single shortcoming, every single area of deficit in my spiritual life, I'm going to fix it all in the next 6 months. No, you're not. You got a whole lifetime of walking with Jesus to get where he wants you to be. But here's what you can do. You can pick one area. Just one. One area. Paul said, this one thing I do. And say, God, in 2017, can you believe we're even saying that? In 2017, I'm going to see, with your grace, with your help, with your strength, I'm going to see this area of my life change and be a little bit more like Jesus. You pick one and go, that's what I'm going to focus on. I read something a little while ago that I think is right on target. It's so apropos for what we're saying. It said it this way. It said, we overestimate what we can do in the short term. I can do all this week. Well, no, you can't. And we underestimate what we can do in the long term. One little bit at a time. So you pick one. Secondly, you make a plan. That's what we were talking about earlier. Choose what you're going to lose. What are you going to let go of? What are you going to let go of? I was at the trainer on, what's today? Today is Sunday. Friday. I try and block that out of my mind. It's like my least favorite place in the entire world. It really is. And I was working with her. And I'll be honest. It was the worst day in a year and a half at the trainer. Awful. Just awful. And there's about 20 times in that 30 minutes, I just wanted to stop. I'm just like, I'm exhausted. I am tired. I'm worn out. I don't like this. It hurts. I'm tired of sweating. It's cold. It's hot. It's, you know, I had a million different excuses. And about every 2 minutes I'd stop. And then I'd get this mental picture. And then I would go back at it one more time. And finally she asked me, she's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I visited someone in the hospital yesterday who had a massive stroke. And every time I get ready to stop, I put that picture right here in my brain. And it makes me go back and do it again because I'm not going back there." And I didn't finish well, but I finished. And Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock, you'll find me right back over there, God willing. Unless I am providentially hindered, which means there's an angel standing in front of me going, "Don't you go there." I'm going to be back. Because there's some stuff that I'm going to lose, and going back to the hospital is one of them. God's grace, I'm not going back there. Right? You choose what you lose. You choose what you set aside. Some of us need to do that with comfort. Some of us need to do that with food. Some of us need to do that with money. Some of us, we need to do that with time. Some of us, you know, there's all kinds of things that we can let go of when it gets important to us. And we want to let go of it. You just have to choose what's important to you. And Paul says, pick one, make a plan. This is what I'm going to let go of. In order to build this into my spiritual life, in order for a year from now, when I stand here on January the 1st, 2018, for me to be able to look back and go, "Man, God has done some great stuff." I'm going to make some room in my life so that God can do the work that He wants to do. Then you pursue it with all your energy. That word for straining and for pressing on is words that you use to describe what a runner does when they hit the finish line. You've seen the runner at the finish line, right? They're running with everything they have, and then when they get to the finish line, they time it so that they can throw themselves. They are straining toward the goal. One of the other words is a word that's used to talk about a hunter in the woods hunting down an animal. They're pursuing it with everything that they have. And then finally, there's this other little piece in here. And this is where we get off track sometimes. This is where we fall short. It's very interesting. He says in verse 17, "And join with others in following my example." Pick a partner who will encourage you, who will walk with you, and who will hold you accountable. And you don't have to go alone. You find someone in your life that will help you go where you feel God calling you to go. And the likelihood of you actually getting there when you have a partner is much, much greater. So let me ask you the question this morning. What's your goal for 2017? What's your spiritual goal? What do you want? You want to be more effective in prayer? That'd be a great goal. Wouldn't it? To pray and see the hand of God move. What an amazing thing. Want to know your Bible better? Instead of going, "Boy, I wonder where that verse is." I wonder where that is. To be able to have it right there, ready for you to know and to live out. To be involved in ministry instead of going, "Man, I wish I could find some time." Create some time. Make some time. Choose what you lose. There's some things that you may need to say, "I can't do that anymore." And just need to let them go. Maybe it's to forgive that issue that we talked about a little bit earlier. Maybe there's a hurt. Maybe there's a pain. Maybe there's a sin. Maybe there's a struggle. Maybe you, instead of going home, instead of going to lunch, instead of going to watch the game, maybe you need to get in the car and drive over to someone's house and just knock on the door. It's a big decision, isn't it? Here's what Paul says to us. "Those things that were important to me, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. You want to pray more effectively? I can give you a suggestion. Starting on the 15th, I'm going to do a brand new series on learning to pray like Jesus. It's going to be a great sermon series I've been working on for the past 2 months. I'm so excited about praying, teaching our church about praying the way that Jesus prayed. It's going to be focused on the Lord's Prayer. Taking it apart, analyzing it, and talking about piece by piece how Jesus taught us to pray. You see, it's one thing to say, gosh, man, I wish I could pray better. I want to do that in 2017. It's another one to go, you know what? Yeah, I was planning on going to that ball game. I was planning on going on that trip. I was planning on going on that event. But I'm going to rearrange my time, my schedule, so that I can do the things that God is calling me to do. Maybe you want to know the Bible better. It's not going to happen by osmosis, just grabbing it and putting it under your pillow. It won't happen. What you need to do is you need to stop at the kiosk, grab one of those brochures, look at some of those new classes, some of those new groups that are getting ready to kick off, and say, with God's grace, I'm going to make a commitment to be there. We've got some awesome things coming up on experiencing God. If you've never gone through that study, it's an amazing study. It's coming up in two or three different small groups. Instead of saying, gosh, I wish I had time to be involved in ministry, you can say, you know what? I'm going to give up this part of my schedule. I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to stop it so that it will create time for me to be engaged in ministry. It's all about the decisions that we make. It's all about the choices that we decide are important to us. So my hope and my prayer for you this year is that you will choose to set a spiritual goal. Not just wish it and dream it, but actually pursue it with all your heart. Let's pray. Father.